There's so much we can't use on this episode. I'm really looking forward to you fucking navigating that shit.
Yeah, thanks.
Money draft. Origins draft.
I've done one.
Oh, I thought you did a... So you 3-0'd the one that you did?
Yeah.
You don't deserve that. when I asked the question, I already knew the. I knew what I was gonna say. Money draft. We just needed one more. I was just saying, we just need like one more kernel.
Dude, we started the episode.
We didn't even use Hulk Hogan. We didn't even exhaust the Hulk Hogan part of the docket. We were on Hulk Hogan.
I thought Hulk Hogan liked brothers.
Money draft.
Draft episode number 37. We're coming at you like that Dennis dude came after that lion that everyone's so fucking upset about.
Did we go? Did we already with that one?
Yeah, man. I want to get that shit.
I thought that was
going to
be like minute 45. I thought that was minute 45 material. But yeah, man.
Hey, man. We got a light ass docket. We gotta take our references to dated pop culture events that people have forgotten about by the time this episode is published.
Yeah, I worry about how people think about us, or especially me, like listening to that last episode. Yeah, people think that's probably my sort of bag. Killing.
Hey, man, our last episode had 397,000 downloads. For reference, that's like four times the highest limited resources episode ever. So I think we must be doing something right if we're getting almost 400,000 downloads on every episode. So.
I don't know if that's.
Yes, thanks
that's
to
what
all 400.
Says. I don't know.
Yeah, so thanks to all 400,000 of you who are listening to this this podcast.
That makes me nervous, man. Don't say that. No one listens
yeah,
to us. As nah, usual, I derailed the intro.
Blown up. I'm not even gonna intro you, JR. Fuck you, man. Being quiet, and waiting his turn to talk is my sub-host Slick Jagger.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's your boy Slick.
It's like circa 2013 Night Slick. No, like modern jerk face, Steve. Not the again. Like, we're like the best fucking. Like you don't even know. Like, but.
Hey guys.
What guys? I'm not aggressive.
What kind of wacky shit are we gonna get up to this week? A money draft.
I love beer.
What?
Oh man. So.
Oh, okay. Can we talk about something that I think we can all relate to that I think is bullshit?
Yeah, yeah.
So you got a condom full of heroin wedged up your asshole, right? And you make it all the way through customs and everything, you know, but you're so nervous before the flight that you want to go just like take a shit and you forget and you flush like $10,000 worth of heroin down the toilet and then they kill your brother. Don't you fucking hate that?
I don't think that would happen.
Oh.
I think you would. Unless you just, like, you were fucked up and you just thought, like, the heroin bag was a shit and you were like, oh, man, I need to take a shit. And then, but otherwise, you would remember that there was something in your, like, colon or rectum.
I took two Xanax to calm down for the flight.
I think you would remember. You would have to be really fucked up to just think that it was, like, a shit and you had to take a shit. It's like, wow, I didn't eat. All of a sudden, I have a shit. Wow. All right.
Yeah, you sound a lot like Escobar right now, because that's kind of how he felt about my explanation.
Hey, man, I can't speak to that. I get too nervous.
Well, this was a good episode, guys. I guess tune in next week.
Money draft.
I also have to. I do have to explain the JFK clip, because that was a discovery. You missed the context, but JR was saying how he had one point discovered the synchronicity between the JFK Rice University speech and the Pink Floyd song, One of These Days. It works pretty well. Then again, it's just like, it's basically just like a progressive climax that takes 3 minutes, so you could have easily just matched up. But it's pretty...
There's somebody trying every combination out there. Like, no, there's man. Just some guy, and like, he gets no recognition because no one knows who his name is. Like, I'm only hypothesizing this guy exists. He's not even confirmed, so he's getting no recognition.
No,
this.
It was just a one-off.
He's like, hey, man, Rush's 2112 album fucking syncs up perfectly with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And everyone's like, oh, that's great. And, like, that's it. He gets no recognition.
I discovered it, man. I saw that speech like a couple years ago on YouTube, and I was like, that speech somehow reminds me of that Pink Floyd song, the way it, like, builds. And it's like time is accelerating at every step. And it was weird. The first time, it was like, wow, it was, like, really close.
That's great, man.
Hey, man, there's gonna be
you're doing important work.
There's gonna be a Wikipedia page on that too.
But there won't ever be a Money Draft Wikipedia page. Think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Just go on and delete it every day.
See also the Illuminati.
No Wikipedia pages for any magic podcast. I don't want that to be a thing all of a sudden. You need references. I guess technically, Brainstorm Brewery and Heavy Meta could do it well, because they were mentioned in that article, only they weren't, because it was Mevy Meta. But, well, there was actually the other one where it was like good podcasts to listen to, so they actually could. They have an external reference. But
Money Draft likes, we like to keep our external references at a minimum.
No references.
No external shit, man. We're not about that life.
If you write an article about us, please refer to us as
the cast.
Dunny Maff.
Oh man. So we did play some magic, right? A little bit.
When?
Maybe.
I did. Been sucking it. Fucking,
tell us all about it.
Been sucking at Origins Draft, 1-2 in every time. Like a piece of garbage.
Can I ask an important question?
Yeah.
If Steve and I could not give less of a fuck about, like, your 1-3-ing drafts,
1-2-ing.
Sorry.
Only sometimes.
I was gonna say 0-3, and then I'm like, nah, don't say 0-3. That's mean. If we don't give a single solitary fuck, and we're at least somewhat invested in you as a person emotionally, like, what are our 400,000 listeners gonna think when you start talking about playing drafts and shit?
It's not about me, man. The magic.
I mean, I did one Origins draft. I 3-0'd. Felt awful. Don't feel compelled to do it again.
Yeah, I told him.
I just milled people, man. I don't know what anybody else is doing.
He doesn't deserve that. What was the nature of that deck?
It just had, like, Sphinx's Tutelage, and that John, like, says, mill them as many lands as you have. And then, like, two of the Centaur Bros that mill four, and then three bounce spells, and then a Macabre Waltz. And just draw perfect every time.
So you milled people out, like, in six games? That's
We milled people out in five. We won one game by combat, I think. The guy was just short on lands.
Combat!
Wow. The funny thing, that card is so bad, that Deluge card. It's four mana, right? For what was the average, like, six cards?
Seven was the average.
So it was, like, Mind Sculpt, which was two mana. From, you know... But yeah. It got there. And it seems like the format is fast too. It's like that's I don't know how you do it, man. I don't know. Like my first fucking pod, I drafted fucking Jam Day Tome, and that was just it's gross. It's just so slow. I was because I was like, ah, my.
Well, we had the tome with the Sphinx's tutelage, which helped.
Again, I guess you had a lot of early bounce, and just blue has good, you know, pretty halfway decent removal. So yeah, the one thing people have been saying, like, that it seems light on synergies, more linear, like you get like a core set. I think like the one card that I noticed that was kind of surprising against me was the Flame Shadow Conjuring, the enchantment where when you summon something, you pay a red to copy it until end of turn. So there's like a bunch of token generating and enters the battlefield effect creatures. I think there are five decent ones in common in red and blue. So if you're like in that sort of token deck anyway.
Yeah, man, you'll shit out Thopters.
Yeah. Again, there's the five in just the commons, and then the better ones up until like Chandra's Parents, you know. But even in like in the uncommons, you have good ones too. So you'll just be shitting out all sorts of creatures. That was the one deck I played where I was like, it's kind of interesting. And the Conjuring, it's an uncommon too, so it's not that crazy.
Flame Shadow Conjuring? I thought that was rare.
No, I think it's uncommon. I mean, if it's a rare, it's not as interesting. The other one that impressed me against me was the green guy that grows whenever the one green, two colorless, and he grows whenever a player casts a spell. Like, if you don't deal with that guy, he's just going to take the game over.
All right. Solid.
Rares are good.
That guy is a rare, right?
You're talking about Mana Gorger Hydra?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a rare. So, but I think like that's probably where he's going to shine. So yeah, in terms of synergies, I don't know. Like the Flame Shadow Conjuring is like the best I got.
Fair.
But the deck was pretty sweet. So yeah, in terms of value though, like it was fine. The first couple of days, I was basically, by just going 1 and 2 and getting a pity pack, the first four drafts consistently, I was able between like money drafting and getting the pity pack, I came out with 2/3 of the tickets I went in with, like consistently for the first four. And then like Sunday into Monday, especially as sort of the prices came down. And then I just also on top of that, just didn't see any incremental money. Maybe people learned that, like, you know, early on you can just like, if you don't feel strongly about something, you just pick up like a garbage mythic or a pain land or something and just get those, ship those out for like a ticket and a half. And you do like 3 or 4 of those and you feel a lot better. But as time goes on, not so much.
Not the so much.
That non-money draft, incremental money draft grinding. It's like, hey, man, it's 80 cents, and it's probably not even going to make the deck, so just take that sense there.
Ironically, when prices are this low, money drafting is not money draft.
You still, it's what it's about, man. It's not about being an actual billionaire trust fund rich asshole. It's about just grinding stuff out over time.
Like, whoa. I don't have a trust fund.
Sorry. Too many details now. Too many details. I told you about Porchester. Did I tell you about Porchester?
Yeah, you told me about Porchester.
Still not a thug, JR.
Whoa. Oh, man. Pro Tour. Woo! Right?
No.
No. Do you hate Magic?
Kinda. I just hate Magic players.
Sometimes, yeah.
It's true. No.
So, I guess the question is Abzan or something new. Probably still essentially the old thing. there was that rally deck with Lily, but I don't know. I'd be surprised if there's... maybe there's some new control deck with any Pro Tour just by default, like Gundead. Like, not, I was like, ah, maybe there's like a new control deck, and then look at like the blue cards and, you know, like the Thopter Foundry. Just like, yeah, maybe that seems sort of asks a decent amount, though. So, I don't know. And I don't know if it's as good as just like another plane, like a Planeswalker you could be playing, or I don't know.
Man, what do you know, dog?
I don't know, man. I don't know. You're a decent podcast, man.
I think we need to realize we don't need to try as hard on this podcast because we're already crushing it.
Yeah, man, but it's good to have some framework. And it's not like we spend a lot of time on this stuff. You know, we're in and out. Be talking about some obscure Wikipedia subject in 10 minutes.
Here's what you need to know about the Pro Tour. Something stupid's going to happen. Like, you remember that Fate Stitcher bullshit? Like, something like that's going to happen. It's kind of impossible to predict it. Because, like, nobody that I have connected to that will tell me stuff about, like, what they're testing the Pro Tour for, because I wouldn't tell anybody because I don't care. Like, no one who tells me stuff is doing anything ridiculous. They're like, hey, we found a good deck and we think it's good, so we're going to play this good deck. Nobody's like, reinvented the fucking wheel at Magic. So, like, the people that do crazy shit like that don't tend to tell people, so it's really tough to predict if that Rally the Ancients deck's gonna get there, or someone's gonna do something stupid with Chandra's parents, or, you know, or Hangerback Walker hype is gonna, like, continue.
Yeah, I think the big question is, like, are you gonna have that Friday-Saturday bullshit, or is how far it carries through? I mean, that's kind of the thing. If you wanted to trade this shit, is differentiating it as quickly as possible and just realistically looking at a deck and saying this is a fucking glass cannon that eventually, when it comes up after, you know, against like junk after junk deck, is just going to fall apart to Thoughtseize and whatever else and not fall in for that day one shit.
That weak shit. Yeah, someone's 3-0 on day one. You're like, oh, holy fuck, this guy's 3-0. Yeah, and then he goes fucking 3-12.
And to their credit, they put interesting decks on camera on the first day, and people sort of like overinterpret that. And every MTG Finance, you know, they just see a card on the screen and they buy. You know, it's just like, oh, it's on the screen, gotta buy it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that's logic, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, bro.
A lot of it's just like sometimes it's easy. You could see it a week before, but not all the time. In the case of Oblivion Stone, you could see it a week before, but that wasn't a Pro Tour situation. That was just a response to collected company decks, and Jund. But
yeah.
We can talk about non-magic now, if you want to talk about non-magic. Oh, we did, I should mention, we promised to have like an episode about legality of magic tournaments in terms of gambling. We're still hurting lawyers and sort of thinking about it ourselves. And it's
the legal
sort of,
experts are doing due diligence, and yeah. I think that's worth waiting for.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like an important topic, so I don't want to...
The one reason to do it this week would have been that something just happened in Indiana where they're shutting down a Euchre tournament.
Well, yeah, it's really interesting and relevant. I think the outcome sort of is relevant, too. Like, basically, it's technically illegal, but at the end of, like, the governor just told the state regulator to not enforce the regulation because due to common sense. And so, in a way, that's, like, really relevant. But
this is from a state where they think gay people want pizza at their wedding, so.
That's true.
There's no such thing as common sense in Indiana.
That's hilarious, yeah.
I was fucking there last night. Indiana's a cesspool. What are you gonna do?
You love Indianapolis, though, man. It's your favorite city.
Man, don't be saying some shit that I said like 3 years ago and using that to undermine my argument, you fuck.
All right.
If I lived Indianapolis, I'd be at fucking Gen Con right now, wouldn't I?
Yeah, man.
And I'm not. I'm not at Gen Con. Because I like Magic the Gathering, and Gen Con doesn't seem to give a fuck, man. It's just like a pastimes tournament.
Yeah, I feel the same way. my first couple of years back in Magic, I was like, oh, Gen Con, that sounds good. And then I was like, wow, that's probably the one event that's definitely not for me. Since I'm definitely not a gamer for the most part outside of Magic.
If I went to Gen Con, it would be because I had a free press pass, which I didn't, like, do the work to get. And I would want to play in a Star Realms tournament. Because I feel like I would probably do pretty well in the Star Realms tournament. So, the Magic stuff there kind of fucking sucks, man. I wish Wizards... I don't know, man. They're like, they spend all their Gen Con budget on D&D shit. But that, I guess that's the one time a year anyone gives a hot fuck about D&D. You know, like...
Yeah, we were talking about that last time.
People play D&D every week, you know, but they don't get fucking excited about it. And... they're like, oh, well, we took your rule book and now you can't use it anymore and you got to buy a new rule book. For whatever reason, that doesn't invigorate the base. So, like, having a big old D&D giant plastic dragon display at fucking Gen Con, I guess is cool and a good use of their money. But that doesn't help me not be upset that Magic's, like, really underrepresented at Gen Con. Like, it's probably got the biggest... tournament space in the card gaming hall, but that doesn't mean that, I don't know.
Yeah, there's only so many resources to go around, and as I always harp on, I'd rather just see them focus on digital if they have to do anything. Like, I mean, you know, the Community Cup is another one that seems like it's being altered in some way, even if it's not going being canceled per se, it has been altered in its previous form to some extent. So... yeah, I wonder what that's about. Because as soon as Mishra's Photoshop tweeted that, he was the first one to tweet, I was like, yeah, like, that's, wow, that's, like, way past schedule. Huh? But there's something in the works, man. Something in the works for Marcel.
Who knows, man? Who the fuck?
I know, like... man. I'm still salty about, like, I'm never going to complain on Twitter about, like, Modo, like, the Magic second, like, but it is annoying when it's just, like, oh, you want to buy your set of Modern Masters 2 Tarmogoyfs because, like, the drafts are ending now, so you should probably get in. Or, like, with Vintage Masters, and then, like, a week later, it's like, oh, you know, like, the whole... everything is changing now, so it's too bad you just bought those. You just bought into Modern Masters 2, like, a week ago. Like, that's annoying for everyone. Like, that's, you know... it's not, like, evils, you know, it's not, like... it's about... yes, you are... like fucking speculators, and you may not want a secondary market in the long run, but you also just hurt like rational behavior when there's like a weird event every month. And the I've been watching the dailies. I just like every Monday I look at and they've already been cut in half even before the changeover. They've already been cut in half in terms of like the number of, you know, 3-0 and or 3-1 and 4-0s, like. So it's, but like Maddie Studio said, shout out to those guys. Like, you know, they may just want to purge the current generation and have a new generation that they're better able to monetize. And that's what they want. And that's sort of what I agree with.
Yeah. So that's what the future of, you know, what is it? Magic Duels is.
Yeah, Magic Duels, man. I don't know. Can you at least, you can play that on other platforms, right?
You can play it for PC, Xbox, PS3, tablet.
Tablet. Okay. All right. Just me. Oh man, that's another fascinating. That's the one other legal aspect that I'll mention, because we had already brought up Hearthstone, but Hearthstone is actually very different from League of Legends and Dota in that it's non-deterministic. Like you're shuffling a deck of cards, but there are like some big money Hearthstone tournaments, right? Already, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is like
Kibler playing in one already.
What I'm saying is like,
yeah,
legally
Kibler's playing in the Archon League team series and or Archon, I don't know, something like that.
Like based on my current legal understanding,
Archon League team championship. And the prize, there's three-man teams, and the prize is $250,000.
Yeah. So, woo-hoo! Just in my legal understanding, though, like, Hearthstone is very different from Dota or League of Legends because it's non-deterministic. Like,
yeah.
Whereas Dota, League of Legends are pure skill-based games. That's why, that's like the definition of, the anti-definition of gambling. It's like, if something is 100% skill-based, you know, then it's not considered gambling, where if there's any random element, and it gets gray at some point, because I'm sure there's probably some random element in, you know, Dota or League of Legends in terms of, like, slightly random seeding effects, like where items appear, and it's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
of
but
course,
like there's marginal.
Very, I mean, I can't speak for League of Legends, but there are some very small random things in Dota for sure.
It's sort of like in golf, where like it's a skill based game, but sometimes like you make your shot and the wind kicks up or something, like, which, you know, I see, like, there was a guy in Hipsters of the Coast like arguing about, again, and this is why we're going into it, the whole discussion about, you know, magic and gambling laws came up after the Tarmogoyf incident, which was a result of them not being able to pay out proportionally in terms of the number of people in the tournament. But he was like, you know, he was like thinking about ways to reshape the Pro Tour, and it's like, well, you know, unless you're on firm legal ground, like, you have to be on firm legal ground first, and I think otherwise, you know, you're just deluding yourself. So it's an interesting thing to talk about, but we want to tread lightly.
Yeah. Nobody wants to get blacklisted, man.
Oh, not even blacklisted. I just, like, you just don't want.
Why is it going to be a blacklist?
Just don't want anything bad to happen.
Don't want anything bad to happen, man.
Yeah, you don't want to get blacklisted, like, certain podcasts for spoilers.
Hey, man. Let's be careful. We got 400,000 listeners of this podcast. I bet Trick listens to this podcast, and he might be like, is he talking about how the fact that I've definitely blacklisted Brainstorm Brewery won't give them a spoiler ever? Like, he might know that you're talking about him, and I don't need that kind of drama in my life. I thought you said you didn't want anything bad to happen. You're trying to make bad shit happen for me,
man.
Man,
I think it's just fine. It's like, it's so awkward that it's not awkward anymore.
I think it's pretty fucking awkward, man.
Oh, man. We got a new card today.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit.
In terms of EDH, you're saying?
In terms of cards, I think, man.
It's a piece of shit as in terms of mythics, you're saying?
Yeah, I don't like it. I didn't like it when I misread it and thought it said comes into play, not when you cast it.
Yeah, it's just sort of a big guy that's kind of a really good rate statistically, right? It's
a 5/8 for 6 is not all that exciting to me when we had Titans.
No, it's like really, it's good abilities. It's 1.5, which isn't really 1.5 because, yeah, it's not as useful. But, you know, it's fair to think of it as like 4.5 mana on average, maybe 4.75. It's better
okay,
against
what,
control.
What do you feel about this card? The card we're referring to is Oblivion Sower.
It's not a mythic because it's just big. That's all it does. It's big.
It does good big.
You know, they're in the just that discussion, like, you know, if you had like a LSV, I forgot the exact discussion, but it was like theoretically, like if you had like a 13/13 for 5 mana, like how good is that even? It comes down to that same kind of thing. But it's interesting with Delve. But even then, is it interesting? Because if they've delved, they get, so it's going to be 1 fetch land, so you're going to get 1 more. Like, okay, whatever. Maybe 2 fetch lands. My thing is Heartless Summoning in Modern. Like, if this is a, if there are multiple cards like this, like if there's a, you know, 6 drop and a 8 drop and whatever, that could get out of hand with Heartless Summoning.
You on your brewer shit right now, JR?
Yeah, man.
You just heard him say Heartless Summoning. Yeah, he's on that brewer shit.
It's a, you pay 2.5 mana on average for a 4/7, and then whatever the next one is. And
ladies and gentlemen, here first, the math has already been done.
We did the math.
But
oh, don't care about this card.
What do you think of, you care about Sea of the Unwritten. Like, what do you think? Like, I don't think this bodes well, actually, for Sea of the Unwritten, because this isn't what I want to see with Sea of the Unwritten. I want to see, like, absurd shit. So if I were like long on like See the Unwritten, a lot of people were like, "Oh yeah, See the Unwritten today," but it's like, nah, that's actually, if
Well,
any,
you're
you
not
can,
going to get those triggers.
yeah. Well, and speaking of triggers, like land, people are talking about Landfall. It's too early to tell like exactly what it's going to do, but I don't know, man. I'm a Heartless Summoning. It's just one of those cards again where you knew it was eventually going to go up. I know there's one guy online who like that's his whole Twitter feed is like once a month he'll just like mention Heartless Summoning. But it's true. It's like one of those
Smart
cards.
man.
It's going to eventually go up because it does a very unique thing, and eventually they're going to print creatures that make a deck, and you can have Heartless Summonings five through maybe. Like you would have to go two colors, but you could have like Pentad Prism or something else that would like give you that same kind of mana boost. So yeah.
Sounds intense.
Sounds.
Intense, man. So what do you think about EDH with this, Jason? Like since
Oh, it's
that
worthless.
yeah, I don't, I mean it's like I guess it's in a certain kind of deck, I guess. I don't know. I don't play it. It's rampy, right? It's
No, it's crap. And like, what's your best case scenario? You peel four lands off the top of their deck and basically unfuck them. It's like, hey, I cast a double reverse plow under on you. You're welcome.
yeah. I was thinking about that more in like regular constructed formats where, yeah, sometimes you'd also just land screw them. That's good. Sowing Salt would be good, like cast Sowing Salt on something and then cast this. That would be good. I curve that out. But that's all I got. Sowing Salt was the only other one I
All right. We went deep there.
Woo!
I'm also upset about Avengers Zendikar getting another reprint. I realize, like, flavor-wise, they probably needed Avenger, but fuck, man.
Yeah, it's the problem with
That's a
policy, man.
punishing reprint.
What
Sometimes,
was that card at before it got announced?
don't know, but sometimes you got Damnation. Sometimes you just have these reprint dumpsters that just happen every year.
Dumpster boys.
What are you guys drinking? You guys on anything there?
Just sipping on some wine, man. Sipping slow.
Are you
Sipping strong.
even doing a gig tonight, Jason?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. No
Er day, er day.
drinking, no drinking tonight.
Nah, I gotta drive my own car. I'll drink and drive if I'm driving my wife's car, but I'm not going to drink and drive in my car.
That doesn't make any sense at all. Cheers.
Why would I want to mess up my own car?
Oh man.
Like, if I get super drunk and, like, hit into another drunk driver and kill them and mess up my wife's car, I'd be like, thank God it was just my wife's car.
I don't know. I thought you were gonna say like you only drunk drive stolen cars. That would make more sense. Like stolen cars like with gloves on and but even then they're gonna find some DNA. Fucking DNA.
How balls deep do you think they're gonna go DNA testing the car? They're not, man. They don't even fucking do rape kits. You think they're gonna do for a Grand Theft Auto? You're insane, man. They can find all the fucking DNA they want. If you don't murder somebody, they're not gonna test it.
They might test it though if you do hit and run murder or whatever.
If you hit another drunk driver, they'll be like, good.
I
They
was
won't even
thinking
try to find
pedestrian.
you. We gotta find this guy and get him his medal.
Yeah, we say some pretty crazy things. I wonder what people think. What kind of
Even
men we are, or were we?
our downloads went up 30% like
Yeah.
clockwork over the last like 17 episodes, so clearly people are running out. They're like, these guys say some crazy shit, and they're telling all their friends like, you have to listen to the best podcast. They're like, is it good for a magic podcast? They're like, no, it's the best podcast. Because I don't know if you've listened to popular podcasts, but they're fucking garbage. My wife just goes on like iTunes and just gets the shittiest podcast.
I
And these
do.
people make like 250 grand a year on these stupid podcasts. Everything they talk about is stupid. And their opinions are dumb. And they don't swear because they're not trying to get that explicit tag, and their jokes are lame, and I hate their stupid voices, and then they talk about fucking the granola bar service that sends you granola bars every week because that's who sponsors them, and man, why... I wouldn't listen to podcasts if it weren't for Magic the Gathering.
Well, sometimes I would definitely want to listen to non-Magic podcasts just to get a broader perspective, like what's the heavy meta of like sports podcasts or the money draft of sports podcasts. I just like to absorb. People were telling me that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is really funny and I should watch it. So we'll see. We'll see, but it's like it's funny.
We'll see what if you ever want to take someone else's word for something ever again.
It's like I'm not watching it to like watch the show as such. I'm watching it more to just like study other people's opinions. So we'll see. I don't know. I thought Reno 911 was pretty funny. Jay Bush apparently does not, or at least said it was garbage.
I feel like if you do the opposite of what Jay Bush says to do. Basically, at any time in your life, you'll end up making some really goddamn good decisions.
Yeah. Are you guys starting that podcast soon?
What podcast?
With Jay Bush.
Who said I was doing a podcast with Jay
Bush? I thought you were talking shit about him, so I thought you were going to be on a podcast with him.
Well, it's funny.
That was actually pretty fucking good.
Ooh. I was invited to do some guest appearances on a podcast with someone I do not like. I don't think that makes me hypocritical. I think that makes me gracious enough to accept an invitation.
That's not what I was saying. I was just...
Man.
Just saying. You're a guest. Yeah. Woo!
I think Jay Bush and I, the only thing we have in common is that we're basically nothing without our wives.
That's interesting. Is that true? I don't. That sounds.
No, pretty, just him. I thought about it. No, I'm pretty awesome.
Oh man. Yeah. Maybe someday I'll get married.
Maybe someday people will take up a collection to get me to go to a GP. Just kidding. That's not very money draft, is it? No, it's not.
Oh man, should have been to Portland. It's good times. Good times.
You know what happened in Portland? Corbin and Mike Linneman combined forces to make everyone eat a shitty dinner.
That's true.
I warned you, fucks! I warned you, don't let Corbin handle dinner. What did you fucking do? What did you do?
He shanghaied us with the power of the happy-go-lucky Vorthos guy.
It was fucking soggy, man. Oh, shout out to Mike, too, with he's shooting that Tommy gun. This is a strong move.
I was more impressed with firing a deep one.
Not shout out to the charity tournament for MS that he's doing. Not that. But like that Tommy
Not that community shit. Not that.
It's like, fuck that community shit. Like, I saw you shooting guns, dog.
Shout
Word.
Out for that, that semi-compulsive, indulgent shit you did on your birthday. And tweeting...
Yeah, well, you know what? It's just money draft. We're not going to talk about a fucking charity tournament to raise money for MS research because that's not fucking money draft, man. Shooting guns is money draft.
Yeah.
We just give money on the low.
Joey D, get at me, dog.
We don't need to talk about it. It's just for tax purposes.
We give to the community here and there.
I'm funding research to make MS worse.
That's what you gotta do for Big Pharma, man. Sometimes Big Pharma, they get it. we're running out of diseases. Let's reverse course over here on the side. You get some stock options, you know.
So, what else do you guys want to talk about?
What else can we say that's awful?
I don't know, man, but we've hit a brick wall.
This episode's not getting released.
Money draft.
This is Bendix, the Tomorrow People.
Yo, so this is kind of an addendum here onto episode 37. We're chilling, relaxed on a Sunday. decided to come together to put a little bit more iridescence into your lives here. Some money draft rhetoric. We the whole crew's here, and we just saw the GP schedule announcement for 2016, and we wanted to speak on that. So how you guys doing? How you guys doing today?
Awesome, man. Feeling good.
Yeah.
As always. Yeah. Jason, not so much. He was up late last night. This morning, as such.
This morning.
He's on a different time zone.
I met Doug Benson.
Wait,
that's
really?
That's not a euphemism. I literally met Doug Benson last night. That's why I was up so late.
Fair.
I don't know who that is, but I'm sure it's like a sweet comedian guy.
Yeah, he did a Doug Benson movie interruption of the movie Speed up at the Traverse City Film Festival. So a bunch of comics and I went up there last night.
Awesome.
Worth it?
Worth it.
I was passed out by 11 p.m. for my part.
I was streaming till almost 2 last night. Like,
ooh, look, you streaming.
I know. Did that. Did two Origins drafts and then... Two Origins drafts and then played a lot of Rocket League. Like, so, Rocket League's the truth. If you're a Money Draft listener and you play Rocket League, hit me up with them deets.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah.
I don't know what that is, but... Yeah, I was doing some drafting. Yeah.
Well, maybe we could touch on that after we talk about the GP thing, because I'm honestly pretty pissed off right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's an odd comment.
Because fucking Philly is not getting a GP 2 years in a row. And it sucks, man. That really sucks. But there was something in there that almost totally reversed my negative feeling, which was the announcement of a Grand Prix located in New York City, New York.
Per se. But hopefully it actually is. I mean, it would sort of, like, if it were in the Jacob Javits Center, that would kind of make sense. If it's not in actual, like, somewhere within 5 boroughs even, like, I guess if it's in, like, Hoboken or Jersey City, like, that's okay, but...
I don't think there's even a... Maybe there's some place in Hoboken, but I don't think there's, like, a convention center in Jersey City.
So, I'm thinking, like, Jacob Javits Center, that would be sweet.
Man, it's all about that Jacob Javits Center.
Yeah, man, fucking...
They're not going to trifle with an inferior center.
There have to be, like, multiple mafia people buried there in the cement. Like, at least 2 or 3. Like, and there have to also have been, like, excessive, like, embezzlements, like, going into the... Like, you would assume, I don't know anything, but, like, you would just assume, like... There's like a massive project, like a massive municipal.
Well,
any
well,
massive
if
municipal.
If you're just
project.
Making an assumption, what are you doing, libeling us on your podcast?
I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I just think like I see municipal expenditures, and I think, I like those municipal expenditures, but.
Oh man, but yeah, I mean, there's Jason, you would come out for the New York City GP, right?
Yeah, all right.
The trick is going to be to get Jason down for the team sealed in GPDC. Because, by God, if you make that trip, we will have the Money Draft polos made for the event. And we will go in and we will crush shit.
Oh shit, Money Draft polos.
Yeah, some functional polos.
Well, 03 drop, man.
Some functional clothes. Not like stuff I saw people wearing on coverage today, but that's another story. But New York City, like, that does seem. I saw TSG making a comment about Portland. I don't know, man. I don't know. Seems like
that's
New
aggressive.
York City is what everyone was asking for, it's central for. High percentage of the people, all of like the Montreal and Toronto people, and yeah.
I mean, New York City is gonna go the fuck down, man. Like that's gonna be, woo.
I mean, to be honest, like I always I started thinking of like Philly as like like Philly to me is more of like the New York GP than like even if they had it in like central New Jersey, I'd just rather just like get on a train to Philly, have it there. So.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on location. Like, if it's somewhere in Manhattan, that'd be awesome.
I feel like it has to. It's going to be disappointing if it's not Jacob, because that's also just like a few blocks from like the old neutral ground and stuff. Like, that would be kind of sweet. Maybe more than a few, but same general neighborhood.
Hey, man, what if it's an MSG, man?
Yeah, man. They used to rent out. Yeah, they rent out those like back areas. Yeah, it could be. I remember like they used to have Worlds there. So it could be, yeah. They could just like approach, like they're not doing it. Yeah, it's probably a good idea to approach them, and they're not doing anything else with that fucking space at that time. And yeah, I think I was there like in 2002. Like they had Worlds or a Pro Tour there in 2002 or so, and I was just there with my girlfriend, just checking it out.
Yeah, yeah, worth it.
The MSG, man.
Yeah, I'm going to a Dota event there in October.
Oh, nice.
Hi.
You in training?
So, yeah.
Are you in training?
No. No, I'm not playing.
Oh, fuck, all right.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, I saw there's a Montreal, too, which would be cool. There's just, like, the main ones I'm hyped about, though, are New York and then Team Sealed in D.C. Like, that would be awesome. So,
yeah, it would.
Yeah, I had stepped away for a second when they actually got to the meat and potatoes, but I always have this conflict where it's like the places I want to travel are like on the West Coast, and it's just it's such a hassle. I hate fucking being in an airplane for fucking 5 hours, but West, like East Coast wise, I've pretty much been everywhere, but so.
Yeah, I mean there is a GP Oakland next year too. Like that'd be sweet to go see TSG and Marcel and those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
The boy Kelvin. Actually, he'll probably be like a new.
I would definitely be going to like in LA or San Diego. I'm just looking for an excuse to go to either of those cities or Vancouver for that matter, or Seattle
Vancouver's
for that matter.
Vancouver's in January. Like, why the fuck would you want to go to Vancouver?
Yeah, they have, like, this weird seasonal.
They don't know what to do with all their snow. They got so much snow, they can't get rid of it all. That's crazy.
Oh, man. So, top eight of the Pro Tour, pretty interesting. Or at least some, like, it's like straddling interesting and not interesting. Money draft. The money draft eye sees a lot of things, and it. I don't know. I think we mentioned a possible Thopter deck on the first half of the episode that was recorded a few days ago, and although the thing is, I mentioned specifically Thopter Spy Network, which isn't even in the main deck, and I didn't even realize it was in the sideboard, like definitely until like a little while ago, but. So that was interesting, but definitely more of the Ensoul Artifact, sack your for 5 damage spell. Some powerful shit, like basically like just the highest rate you can go to almost, you know. So, but most people showed up, or not most, but we don't have at this point the breakdown of like, you know, the you know, X2 decks and standard. So we're just sort of going over just like the overall standard, the overall standings at this point. And in terms of just like archetypes, yeah, we don't really have like the, like which, you know, team percentages. I've seen like Saffron Isle obviously started like going through some numbers, but we don't really have all the numbers yet. But a few.
We're lacking data right now, per se.
A few teams, like Ultra Pro showed up with red. Fasafas CFB showed up with red. I guess I didn't see that much Pantheon I didn't see too many Pantheon players on camera. But the artifacts deck was real. Like, I was like, even though we kind of mentioned it, like, I was like sort of disrespecting it on Friday a little bit, but it put a couple decks into the top eight, so that's good enough. But these like Pro Tour weekends are always such a local solution that I feel like they just like the decks get a lot more fast for this weekend, and then after this weekend they'll revert more back to like control oriented and like the Abzan stuff. But I'm probably still rooting for like Siege Rhino to just like take it down just to make everyone else seem silly somehow.
Oh man. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's always the new format Pro Tour is always usually aggressive. Like, yeah, we'll see.
I drafted a Liliana. So it was like so fucking weird. I got a Liliana, my second pick. So it must have been some crazy foil or something. I must have been a crazy foil. Because otherwise, it's just like ridiculous. Or it's like they just timed out. Like maybe they had a heart attack and. Or so like just a moto crash.
Maybe they just wanted to win the draft.
You can that Liliana is going to pay for another draft and a half, and so they either drafted a common or a foil. So even if they like were really in love with the strategy, you probably just want to like draft that Liliana, you know. But the Liliana like fucking, you know, I was thinking I should probably like sell my shit, but I sort of fell asleep around 11, like basically before the top eight deck lists came out, and I was like, it'll probably like, and also if I were like keeping closer track, I probably would have known that there were no Lilianas in the top eight, but I was like, they'll probably be like enough, whatever, you know. But yeah, so no Lilianas in the top eight, no Jaces. So both of those like crashed on Moto today. Liliana's down 6 tickets, but good thing I had Abbott and some Exquisite Firecraft. So I basically cashed out of those like a couple hours ago when I saw like 2 red decks playing head to head. I was like, all right, well, it's probably a lesser chance of a red deck winning everything at this point, so I'm just gonna cash out of the Abbotts and the Firecraft now, but. Hanging on to the Lily. I think Lily is good enough that like it'll see some play in Modern, and it'll just be some weekend where it's like a good card again in the next 2 years. And you'll be able to sell Lily for 15 at some point.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that was the best deck that I drew. Like, all my decks were boring. Like, the one that was like kind of interesting was like when I had Liliana just had like some fantastic money draft, rare drafting with Liliana and Woodland Bellower. So you get like Bellower for Liliana, and then like once I like Liliana to
you can't Bellower for a fucking legend, man.
Oh, she's a legend. All right, well, I didn't actually do that, but what I did was I Liliana to recur Bellower twice, so that was sweet. So
that's value.
Yeah. Though like I wasn't like the Bellower cards, to be honest, that I was getting, like, they were just like draw card elf, and like they weren't like extreme value, but it was good enough. The Elvish Visionary, like, it was just like that kind of just enough, because I had like an extreme just clogged board state with this guy where we both had like significant flying stuff, we both had significant ground creatures, and it just came down to me like using the Woodland Bellower as just like throwing it at him multiple times and recurring it with a Liliana over multiple turns after taking up Liliana to basically get through. So, but I lost that match 1-2, and that's just like this format seemed, it's really fast, and even like that deck was a sweet ramp deck. I had, in addition to the Bellower, I had the Vigilance Reach 6-drop guy, I had Gaea's Revenge, and 3 of the 2-1 mana guys. But it was just, I played another deck, like, same colors, green-black, and even, like, just he just had shitty, like, smaller, faster creatures and then Tuco husks, and he was just able, like, the husks were just, like, a beating. Like, I was, like, ramping out reasonably, just the amount of pressure that he could put on every turn was too much.
Oh, man. I've had some great draft experience since the beginning of this episode. I believe I said that I've only drafted once and I 3-0'd. I drafted Milligan in 3-0'd, and then I've drafted red white for 2-1 and green blue tempo for 2-1. So, it's.
Yeah. I think I might have said on the first half of the episode that the Flame Shadow Conjuring is a rare.
Yeah. We said that.
I'm pretty sure, I was pretty sure on Mythic Spoiler before they had it as an uncommon, but that's very odd. But anyway.
No, it never happened.
I was wrong on that. So I think, the uncommon build around is Sphinx Tutelage. I've tried just jamming it in any old deck that has, like, three or four draw card effects in it. Like, I feel like in terms of uncommon build arounds, like, that's a thing. Like, I've never had, had any success, like, what Slick is telling me he's had with his mill decks, or seen anyone running that strategy. But in terms of a sweet build around strategy, that's about as sweet as I've heard, like, based off of, like, an uncommon.
I mean, it's awesome. Like, I might even run one after we get done this. Who knows, man?
Yeah, I would, man.
Don't you gotta go to work?
Well, I mean, I would if I were you. Yeah, I'll I'll do one after.
Like, per se.
Hit one of those after, man.
Hit it up.
Yeah, so watching the Pro Tour here.
Yeah, it's a thing. I don't know if I would really care if it wasn't for the.
Demonic. I see a lot of people talking about Demonic Pact in paper, but just for reference, on July 31st, it was like 7 tickets online, and right now it's 3 tickets online. So.
Pro Tour high.
Yeah, so it was a good idea to, like, look at the online market and then say, like, oh, if this is on camera at all in paper, it'll spike in paper. But this is like the ultimate quick and the dead card, this Pro Tour, I think, Demonic Pact. It's like the online market already tells you, like, no, like, this paper price is not right. And, like, I don't know, it's probably not going to crash in paper just because, like, the price is going to be more sticky, but, like, that, the fact that the card has been cut in half in the last 2 days online would be making me a little bit nervous if I were buying it or, like, waiting for it to be delivered or whatever. Like, you don't want to, like, order, like, a couple play sets from Spain right now or or Italy.
Oh,
Mama, we got a shipment for Demonic Pact.
Yeah, didn't Marcel tweet that he had some coming in? Or he had some coming in?
Yeah, yeah.
Too late.
Well, if he has them in his hands today, it's fine. But you may be, like, if you have them in your hands in 10 days. I don't know, man. Can't speak to others' calls on things. Or sartorial selections. Like, I'm not even calling anyone out on it, but earlier on coverage, I saw a guy wearing a hoodie with short sleeves that was just, like, manufactured that way. And I thought that was interesting. It's just, like, what was the process that led to someone deciding to manufacture a hoodie with short sleeves? And, you know, I was thinking, I was, like, going deep, and I was, like, he's from Australia. Is there, like, something about Australia where it's, like I could see, it was, like, black. So I could see if it were, like, gray or white. You know, you would want the hood for just, like, a sun kind of thing to, like, shield you from the sun. But if you're black, I mean, that's not, you don't want to be wearing black and for, like, a sun kind of thing. So I just, it just seems odd that like anyone would decide to like say like, you know what we need to manufacture is a hoodie with short sleeves. All right, let's make, you know, 10,000 of those and sell those. I would be like, whoa, I don't know if we're going to sell those.
Word up.
And I think I already mentioned Joel Larson. Like, I don't like the idea of having a denim shirt. Because it always, like, you're always wearing jeans. So, like, if you're wearing a denim shirt, you have to go out of your way to, like, not wear jeans. Which I guess, if he's doing that, I guess that's cool. But
going out of his way.
And you, like, you're often wearing jeans. You often are, like, going out of your way to not wear jeans. But I don't know. But with that hair, he can get away with it. Like, if I just, like, showed up with a denim shirt, like, people would say, like, JR, you're a fucking loser. Get out of here. Joel Larson shows up with a denim shirt. You're like, all right. Seems cool.
That's blatant hypocrisy in this community. It's got to stop. You got to stop letting Joel Larson get away with whatever he wants to get away with, man.
JR has very specific opinions. JR even, like, has a problem with, like, British accents. He's always, like, paranoid that someone is trying to, like, foist something over on him when he hears a British accent. It's, like...
That's real tough, man. That's really tough.
Like, sometimes you see, like, a paper, like an academic paper on the markets, and you start reading it, and you just have a feeling, it's just, like, there are too many fucking equations. Like, what do you fucking... Like, why are there so many... There don't need to be so many fucking equations in this paper already. You just know it's just bullshit. I'm not talking shit on Tim Willoughby like him, but I'm just saying, like, in general, like, when you hear British, it's like a weird bias, like a weird, like, reverse counter signaling bias.
Jeez.
It happens, man.
Word.
Word up.
I mean, it's like, damn, word.
So I've gotten caught up in casting and haven't actually looked at what's going on in a while.
I don't know what the fuck's going on, man. I'm chilling, bro. I'm chilling right now, dog. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really think we need to go for much longer, you know? Just want to give a little tack on, a little hello, a little addendum, you know? We know Jason Alt's hungover as fuck.
Thought I was going to die.
We got that going for us.
Yeah, man. Thought I was going to be the first guy to die and fuck up the cause. One marijuana death looks a lot worse than zero.
That edible shit, man. People be freaking out with that edible shit.
Yeah, man. I ate a cookie and it fucked up my entire night.
Yeah.
Well, I would expect that you would do something of the sorts if you met Doug Benson. Like.
Yeah. You could eat worse things on given nights.
You know it.
That means sex. That means pussy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you getting hyped right now, JR?
Woo!
Woo! Woo! I want the foundation burning, till I'm dead. I want the torch to hell, flickering fade, betrayed by myself. Oh, holding on so tight, but now tightening, sticking my heart, confusing, it flies.
Docket, man. I'm so sick of this shit. You want to talk about something that's not on the docket, then we don't fucking talk about it. What about this? Yeah, what about it, fuckface? You made the docket, man.
If you want to talk about something not on the docket, that's cool.
I'm smoking a fucking cigarette, man. I'm over it.
Money draft. Yeah, it's like when all those Jonah Hill and all those guys like thinned up. It's like, fuck you. Like, don't try that shit with me. Don't try to be in some fucking superhero movie because you lost 40 pounds. Be a fucking jolly ass funny guy. Fucking fuck.
That sounds aimed at Chris Pratt. Like, directly.
Seth Rogen, too, right? I think I was thinking of Seth Rogen, even just.
And Green Hornet.
Don't like thin up and put on your fucking glasses. Like, get the fuck out of here, you fucking fat funny man. Money draft. I'm not actually talking about the trajectory per se. More just the orgasmic force, but it's gonna be harder to sustain. Like, you can't. No, it's not gonna work. So. You don't want to really jerk off standing up if you can help it. That's just my advice, man.
That's great fucking advice, man.
It's subtle advice, like, but I don't know. Maybe some youngsters listening to the show may not realize that yet.